You're listening to Comedy Central.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Is anyone here a member of QAnon? I mean, if you are, because I was going to ask you about the story that's blowing up today. Hundreds of QAnon supporters showed up to the place where JFK was assassinated because they believe that JFK Jr. was going to show up, like from the dead, and announce that Trump is now president. And the people actually came there and they were like, we're ready and we're waiting. And like everyone online was roasting them and like, this is trash, this is stupid. I watched that and I was like, I think I want to join QAnon. Not for like the things they believe in, but just for like the communal aspect. It seems like, you know, they get people out, everyone's hanging around together, you know. Must be like a cool place to meet very interesting people. I'm sure there's like very, very interesting people you could meet there, you know. Also, can we all agree on something? If a dead person comes back from the dead, like if anyone comes back from the dead and they say anything, we have to like agree with it. Like if someone comes back from the dead and they say Trump is present or anyone's present, we have to go with them because they came back from the dead. It's not in the Constitution, but it should be. Like, I don't know about you guys. I'm going with the dead person. Do you know what I mean? That's even like a thing like with, from the Bible. Jesus was alive, people were like, yeah. Then he came back from the dead. Till that day, we're all like, yo, my man. Whatever that guy says. If you come back, because anyone can like tell you shit. If someone comes back from the dead, nah. Tupac comes back now. Anything he says, I'm doing it.
Coming to you from the heart of Times Square in New York City, the only city in America, it's The Daily Show, Ears Edition, tonight. You're all out of order. T-Swift is shifting elections. And Vanessa Nakate. This is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to The Daily Show. I am Trevor Noah. Let's jump straight into today's headlines. We kick things off with abortion. Ah, a great topic for any first date. Last May, Texas tried to ban abortion in a new way. They didn't outlaw it, but they made it possible to sue anybody who gave or helped someone get an abortion, right? And then if you win, you would get at least $10,000. So for example, if I drove someone to an abortion clinic in Texas, anybody can sue me for $10,000. Anybody on earth. You, my seventh grade girlfriend, Brad Pitt, anybody. Snitches get riches. And the reason Texas structured the law this way is so that the Supreme Court couldn't overturn it. But yesterday, the Supreme Court looked at this case anyway, and they didn't sound too happy with Texas getting cute like this.
Today, as protesters rallied outside the Supreme Court, inside for the first time, a majority of justices signaled they are not comfortable with the new Texas law. Conservative justices Brett Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett today questioned whether that loophole should be closed.
Kavanaugh theorized that a left-leaning state could offer a $1 million bounty against those who saw an assault rifle like an AR-15, then claim it wasn't using state power because only private parties could bring the suits.
Uh-oh. Looks like the conservative justices are gonna have to choose what they care more about, guns or fetuses. And this is tough. That is, unless, what if women gave birth to to guns. That's it. We just make women give birth to guns. Then everybody wins. I will say, this really shows you how bullshit this law is, right? Because banning abortion has been the goal for conservatives for over, what, 4 decades now? But even they aren't willing to do it like this. Like, it would be like a lonely guy finally losing his virginity, but only because he fell into the gorilla pit at the zoo. It's not what he wanted. It's what he wanted, but not what he wanted. And the justices are right. This law could lead to a future where everyone is just suing each other all the time. And let's be honest, there are already too many lawsuits in America. I mean, America had to make Jerry Springer a judge. Yeah, Jerry Springer. He has a court show now. Yeah, they were like, who's that guy who used to have conjoined twins slap each other on TV? Yeah, give him a robe. He's a judge now. We need more judges. We need more judges. All right, but let's move on to a story about cryptocurrency. You know, it's like if money got into vaping. Everyone has heard of Bitcoin, of course. But did you know that there are thousands of other digital coins out there? Why? Because anyone can make a cryptocurrency. You, my 7th grade girlfriend, Brad Pitt, anybody. All you need is a computer and the willingness to bore your friends to death at parties. Anyway, the other day, an exciting new cryptocurrency came out called Squid that the creator said was inspired by Squid Game, which is another thing that people do. They give their money a name based on a TV show or a meme, and then people who like that thing buy the coin, which, let's be honest, is the stupidest way to invest in something. Because what if the thing that you're a fan of becomes unpopular? I mean, trust me, that's how I got stuck with $10,000 worth of FOMO coin, and now I can't touch it. But so many people wanted Squid Coins that the price of each coin shot up to nearly $3,000, which is when all the people selling it took all that money and disappeared.
That Squid Game cryptocurrency we've been talking about on the program looks like it was part of a scam.
What happened is called a rug pull. The coin's creators, they just abandoned the project by exchanging the coin for cash. They walked away with $3.3 million, or every dollar ever invested in Squid Coin. They left 40,000 investors holding the bag after the crash.
There's a scam. Case closed.
Oh, man. I feel bad for these people. I mean, not too bad, because did they not see the show? Were these people like, wow, these nice Squid Games people are offering me easy money. What could go wrong? I mean, this is one advantage that real money has over crypto money, because the government can't just cash out and leave. You know, you'll never see Biden hopping on Air Force One like, haha, I converted all the dollars to yen. Sayonara, Jack. Come on, let's get out of here, man. I did a little malarkey. If you want to invest your money smartly, let me give you some advice. What you need to do is go to a bar near Wall Street at around 5 o'clock, hide in the bathroom, and then you see what professional investors are saying. That's how I ended up investing in a little thing called cocaine. Made a lot of money doing that. All right, and finally, let's talk about space travel. One day it'll be as glamorous and romantic as it is in science fiction. We'll fly past stars in beautiful ships and fight with laser swords and make out with our sisters. But we didn't know that she was our sister at the time, which makes it all right. But right now, that future is light years away.
SpaceX is faced with another engineering problem, this time in the bathroom. A leaky toilet is the latest issue on board the SpaceX Dragon capsule, which means everyone on board won't have a toilet during their journey. The 4 astronauts will have to rely on backup undergarments. I think they mean diapers. Officials did not say how long the crew would be without an inoperable toilet.
You know, it's pretty humbling that no matter what technological advances we come up with, we've still got to deal with our poop. Which, let's be honest, is going to be really embarrassing if we ever meet aliens.
Greetings, Earthling. Would you like to know the mysteries of the I'm sorry, did you just defecate in your pants?
Yeah, man, sorry about that, dude. It was a really long flight, and I'm wearing diapers, though, so it's cool. Tell me about those secrets.
You know what? We just remembered we have a thing in another galaxy. See you around, maybe. Don't come back here.
But you know, when we think about it, what is so embarrassing about diapers, huh? I honestly think that diapers are underrated. Like, if diapers didn't already exist and someone introduced them now as a hot new technology in 2021, be honest, people would be excited about them. Guys, what if I told you you never had to worry about finding a bathroom ever again because you would always be carrying one with you, huh? You'd make a killing on Shark Tank, Barbara. I know you take dumps, so All right, that's all the time we have for the headlines. Let's move on to our main story. Today is Election Day in America, and there are local races all around the country. New York City is electing a new mayor. Minneapolis is voting on whether to remake its police force. Hollywood is voting on whether Kim and Pete Davidson should be a thing. But right now, the political world is watching the governor's race in Virginia, where the Democrat, Terry McAuliffe, is running neck and neck with Republican Glenn Youngkin. And Virginia has been a pretty solid blue state for years now, which means that if Democrats lose, they might have to rethink their strategy of promising a lot of popular services and then not delivering on any of them. But this year, there's one unexpected voting bloc in Virginia that could decide the entire race. And Desi Leidick has more.
Covering the news is exhilarating. You travel the country, meet interesting people, and find real stories. But then one day you realize it's a f***ing Tuesday in November again.
Well, it's election day again.
Got it.
It's election day again. Because it's... Sorry, I can't. It's election day again! F***ing Virginia!
As a journalist, I'm honored to be covering this sacred process. Again, I feel super chill about it.
I'm good. It's election day again, and we've got another close race on our hands, so you better start clenching those butt cheeks.
Early voting is already underway in the Virginia gubernatorial race, with the latest polling showing Democratic Governor Terry McAuliffe effectively in a dead heat.
Politico writing, if Terry McAuliffe doesn't pull out a win, Democrats are privately predicting a collapse on Capitol Hill.
Wait, Virginia could go red? For a state that went blue by 450,000 votes in the last election, this was a story worth keeping down the vomit. I sat down with Jeffrey Skelly from 538 to help me make sense of this.
Sorry about the mess. Elections, am I right? Why is this race in particular so close? Isn't Virginia blue?
Yeah, so Virginia has been Democratic leaning over the last few years, but President Biden is now somewhat unpopular. And I think voters are responding to that, and so the electoral environment is better for Republicans. So you've got a close race in Virginia.
Who do you think will actually decide this race?
Young voters are really important. Because they are basically the most Democratic-leaning group. But one little interesting thing McAuliffe has done is run campaign ads attacking Glenn Youngkin because he was CEO of the Carlyle Group, which was involved in the purchase of Taylor Swift's master recordings. And so they've been using this to try to get young people to pay attention to the race because there are a lot of young people out there, you know, 18 to 34-year-olds who really like Taylor Swift.
Virginia Democrat candidate for governor Terry McAuliffe recruiting Taylor Swift fans. McAuliffe reportedly linking his opponent to music executive Scooter Braun, who infamously bought Swift's master recordings back in 2019.
After I was denied the chance to purchase my music outright, my entire catalog was sold to Scooter Braun's Ithaca Holdings in a deal that I'm told was funded by the Carlyle Group.
One of the targeted ads reading, did you know that Republican candidate for governor Glenn Youngkin helped buy Taylor Swift's masters out from under her?
You gotta be shitting me. Taylor Swift fans vote?
I think that's what the McAuliffe campaign is hoping.
If the Swifties are backing McAuliffe, what group of fans are backing Youngkin? Chet Hanks fans? Chet heads?
Well, we don't have any polling on different, you know, fan groups of musical artists.
They were 538. What the
Yeah, it's a real niche.
Could we be underestimating the Swifties?
I think I'd be careful about giving them too much weight, but there are a lot of young people who like Taylor Swift. We know that's true.
Could Taylor Swift fans be the key to the Virginia race? To find out, I had to dive deep into their fandom, no matter how many of her albums I had to buy on the show's credit card.
Oh, sorry.
This just happened to me without my approval or consent.
Shame on him. Wow! Wow!
Finally, after becoming fluent in all things Taylor, I gathered a group of her fans in Virginia to see how angry they were with candidate Youngkin.
Are you all true fans? Are you true Swifties? Did you buy signed Fearless albums, Taylor version?
I actually do have it and I can pull it up.
I also have every single Taylor record on vinyl right next to me if we want to go that far.
Yeah. The two most important dates in November is November 2nd, which is Election Day, and November 12th, which is red. Yeah, I'm taking off work for Election Day just in case the lines are too long.
Are you also taking off work for Taylor's release of Red?
Oh, 100%. I need to get through all the emotions of all the songs on that album.
I'm taking off work and my therapist is not getting the day off.
While I respect this generation's clear dedication to mental health, could this new base of voters actually tip the scales in Virginia?
I'm originally from Texas, and the last 3 years in college, I voted in Texas, but I just knew that I couldn't just sit by and watch as Youngkin took Virginia. And so that's when I decided to change my voter registration.
Wow. Okay, so you just changed your registration. This is dedication.
I was in the weird college era as well, where I was kind of voting in my home state. But now I am voting in Virginia because of this issue.
I couldn't help but pity these young girls. There are so many important issues, but all they care about is Taylor Swift's master recordings.
It's not really about the masters, but I mean, just a couple of days ago, Youngkin came out and said, you know, he loves everyone. And when asked if that includes LGBTQ people, he said no.
Are there other issues that you care about?
Women's right to choose.
I'm very passionate about gun violence prevention. Climate change is going to be the biggest issue of our time, so those policies are super important. I'm an environmental engineer, so this is life-changing.
What would you say to boomers like my Aunt Sheila, who say 14-year-old girls should stay out of politics and stop stealing my sleeping pills, Desi?
I think that's such a weird stereotype of Taylor Swift fans because we're not 14 anymore. We are adults. We pay taxes and we vote.
Yeah, do you want to see my thesis paper about congressional legislation? Because I can show you that. Don't underestimate Swifties.
All right. Take it easy, Molly. Jeez. I don't want any snake comments on my Insta.
Yes, they are fans of Taylor Swift. And yes, they are in their 20s. Maybe they can make a difference in this upcoming election. No matter what happens, at least now I'll have some great music to cry to, just in time for next Election Tuesday.
Thank you so much for that, Desi. All right, when we come back, The Daily Show will be on trial. You don't want to miss it.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. There are a lot of major court cases happening right now. And you know what? We decided that we're going to take them to trial in our brand new segment, Court Court.
Order! Order in the court! I call this court session to a session. Counselors Desi Laddick and Roy Wood Jr., are you ready to present your arguments?
Yes, Your Honor. I look forward to a rigorous debate that will make my opposing counsel look like the little bitch he is.
Let the record show, Your Honor, that I'm honored to appear before this court. And also that I keyed her car in the parking lot.
What?
Yeah.
Excellent. Our first case is about the rioters who stormed the Capitol on January 6th. Some of them are going on trial right now, and they have interesting ideas about who should be representing them.
At least five people charged in the riot at the U.S. Capitol have chosen to defend themselves in court. In doing so, they're brushing aside federal judges' repeated warnings about the risks of trying to navigate their high-stakes cases without a lawyer.
But representing himself in a bond hearing, a January 6th riot defendant named Brandon Fellows admitted to two more felonies, strengthening the case against him.
Alan Hostetter, accused of being affiliated with the Three Percenters, facing 20 years in prison on just the conspiracy charge, wants to be his own lawyer.
They're going to have to say to themselves, yeah, the election was stolen, the government was overthrown, and Alan was right about COVID, the lockdowns, masking, and vaccines. So, case closed. Sorry, folks.
Wow, riveting testimony. That is the most stirring self-defense a man has ever recorded in his mom's basement. Counselors, should the Capitol rioters represent themselves? Make your case.
Of course they should, Your Honor. American citizens have every right to defend themselves. I myself have gotten out of three parking tickets using the classic waterworks defense. Three, you pee yourself and they let you go. Not to mention, by not getting lawyers, they're sparing us from catching COVID because, let's be honest, these guys don't believe in vaccines. Some of them don't even believe in haircuts.
Hell no. Hell no. Your Honor, they shouldn't be defending themselves. Look, representing yourself is a terrible, terrible idea, especially if we're talking about these guys, okay? That one guy admitted to two extra felonies. What does he think? He thinks he's some sort of loyalty program where you do enough felonies and then the next one's free? These people are dumber than people who think they can do their own home repairs. You think you can grout your own backsplash, you think you can do it. But 6 hours later, your kitchen is flooded and your child is grouted to the ceiling. And child
all
services.
All right. No children on the ceiling. I'm ready to rule. The court finds that the rioters should not represent themselves in court.
Damn it.
Yes! Right.
They will be represented instead by Roy.
Haha, yes.
What? Huh?
Yep, that's it. All right. Let's hear our next case.
The criminal fraud trial resumes today for Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes.
She's accused of lying to investors about her medical testing company, saying that its blood testing devices could identify diseases and that she was making hundreds of millions of dollars.
A third juror, Jill, has now been dismissed from the Elizabeth Holmes trial that after being caught playing Sudoku during testimony, a court transcript revealed that the juror had been playing Sudoku for at least 7 days during testimony. Now, when the judge questioned the juror, they confirmed they were playing the game, but were still, they say, listening the entire time. Holmes' trial now 7 weeks in and is now down to two alternates.
A juror playing Sudoku? That would never happen in my courtroom. Because we give out Nintendo Switches. Mario sent me a case of these to thank me for letting him off for stomping on all those ducks. Counselors, should jurors be allowed to play Sudoku during a trial?
No, Your Honor. It's not only unfair to the defendant, it's incredibly rude to the lawyers. We practice our speeches so hard. When to make our voices loud and when to make our voices soft for dramatic effect. Give us the attention we deserve. I didn't crash that children's theater camp last summer for nothing. Not to mention, where does it end? One juror plays Sudoku, another one starts reading, then knitting, one of them pops an edible they won't share even though I can see that they have a whole bag. Now I'm in a fist fight with the juror while the defendant is sneaking away. In conclusion, share your weed.
I disagree, Your Honor. I disagree. Sudoku puzzles keep your brain strong and agile. I want a guy in my jury who plays Sudoku. He can do that beautiful mind thing where he sees all the connections and discovers who the real killer is. And once we know who the real killer is, we get to go home and watch Insecure. I did that Laugh South thing you did. Yeah, stole that.
What is your decision, Your Honor?
Death penalty. Hold on, let me just save this. Okay,
Our next case is an international story that involves three things I never thought I'd say in a sentence. Richard Gere, Italian foreign minister, kidnapping.
Actor Richard Gere is among the witnesses listed in a trial involving Italy's former interior minister. Matteo Salvini is accused of kidnapping 147 migrants in 2019 after he denied their ship permission to disembark in Italy.
Mr. Gere actually went onto the ship when it was being held off the coast of Lampedusa. It was there for 19 days under incredibly difficult conditions, and he brought food and water to the people who were on the ship.
Being put on trial for just doing my duty is surreal. I'm sorry for that. Richard Gere will come. Now you tell me, how serious is a trial where Richard Gere comes from Hollywood to testify on how bad I am?
Well, now, this court case represents two intriguing questions. Should celebrities be involved in foreign legal matters? And man, what's Richard Gere been up to?
Richard Gere belongs in that courtroom, not just because he might have been witness to migrant kidnapping, but because he played a lawyer in both Primal Fear and Chicago. He is qualified to practice law and to be doing it while tap dancing.
No way, no way. Every minute Richard Gere is overseas dealing with this case is another minute of him not making movies. I've been waiting 20 years for a sequel to The Runaway Bride. The world deserves to know if she ran away again.
People do not want to see a Runaway Bride sequel. They want to see a Pretty Woman sequel.
Hell no.
No.
First Runaway Bride, then Pretty Woman. Runaway Bride.
Silence.
No.
First.
Silence. Pretty Woman.
If I say it again, you know where this gavel goes.
Yep.
We'll compromise, people. I sentenced Richard Gere to make a movie that's a sequel to both. And I don't know how it'll work. Maybe there's a time machine, but we'll let them figure it out. Next case.
A 96-year-old woman who went on the lam to avoid prosecution for alleged Nazi war crimes appeared in a German court. Irmgard Fürchner was brought into the courtroom in a wheelchair with her face and head covered. The trial will be held in an adolescent court because of her age at the time the alleged crimes occurred. Last month, Fürchner was a no-show on the day court proceedings against her were to begin. Reports say she fled her retirement home and was a fugitive for several hours before authorities caught up with her in Hamburg.
Well, that is peculiar. How did a 96-year-old woman escape from the authorities? I mean, she's easy enough to catch. She's obviously the car driving 15 miles an hour on the wrong side of the road. But now that she has been caught again, the question is, should she be taken to trial? Desi?
Yes, Your Honor. Nazis are bad.
Okay. Roy, what is your defense of Nazis?
What? Why do I gotta defend Nazis? I don't wanna do that.
You have to, because I went first.
I don't have to do that.
Roy, it's all right. Everyone understands you're just a lawyer. Devil's advocate.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you could say she was old and...
Overruled, Roy! Nazis are bad!
Wow.
And you should be ashamed of yourself.
You make me sick.
Desi wins and gets today's jury prize, a free book of Sudoku puzzles.
Yes!
That's all the time we got for court cases today. Join us next time on Court Court. But not you, Roy. You're banned for life. You leave your Nintendo Switch at the door.
Come on, don't my Switch. Don't take the Nintendo Switch.
No Switch for you. Great job, Desi.
Come on, man.
Can't believe you would defend.
Okay. All right, that's fine.
Nazi.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now. Meaningful Beauty, beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Welcome back to The Daily Show. My guest tonight is Ugandan climate activist and founder of the Rise Up movement, Vanessa Nakate. She's here to talk about her new memoir and why Africa and other countries in the global south should be at the center of the climate conversation. Vanessa Nakate, thank you very much for taking the time today.
You're welcome.
It's really great to have you on the show, you know, because I feel like in the past few years, you have come up the ranks and you have risen to become one of the most outspoken activists for climate change around the world, you know, and you've been an activist who's proudly been campaigning not just for the world, but also for a continent that is often overlooked. And that is, of course, the African continent. And you were inspired by Greta Thunberg, I believe. But there's no denying Greta comes from a very different world in that, like, she lives in a world of free speech. She lives in a place where you can say whatever you want. You know, going up against the government isn't anything that could ever get you into trouble. You know, you're in Uganda. As a fellow African, I know what it's like to be in a place where you have to be respectful even in your activism, because if you're not careful, things may not go well for you. So what was that like for you?
It hasn't really been very easy. And when I started activism, I knew very well how hard it was to get permits to organize strikes. And in countries like mine, education is really prioritized. From when we are children, we are told education is the key to success. So many students understand how important it is for them to be in school and not skip school and go for a climate strike. So these are some of the things that have really hindered us from organizing big strikes. However, that hasn't stopped us from doing activism. We've been going to these schools and reaching students within the school so that we can try to, you know, keep advocating and demanding for climate justice, even though we can't go out on the streets easily.
You have found, I think, really effective ways to get a message out there. You are now on the cover of Time magazine. I mean, congratulations. You know, what did it feel like being on the cover of Time magazine, you know, as a climate activist? And then number two, what do you hope to achieve with some of the fame that comes with that status?
I was really surprised to find myself on the Time cover, and I would never imagine it in my life or even dream. So it's not like it was a dream come true. No, it wasn't a dream. So I never really thought of it. It helps give me a platform and just reach more people to keep talking about the same thing that I've been talking about all this time, about the climate realities of the people in my country, Uganda, and the people across the African continent. For people to always know that while Africa is on the front lines of the climate crisis, it is one of the least emitters of CO2 emissions of all continents, except for Antarctica.
It's funny you talk about emissions. Africa emits less than all these other countries in the conversation, but the conversation seems to be focused on, you know, predominantly European countries or Western nations. I feel like you have had that experience on a personal level as well. Multiple times, you have gone to an event to speak, to represent the continent, to talk about climate change, and you have been cropped out of the photo that talks about the event. You talk about that in your book, by the way, and I'd love to know what you think that is and how you've responded to that.
Well, I think that is the horrible reality of the climate crisis. Africa is responsible for only 3% of global emissions. While we are on the front lines of the climate crisis, we are not on the front pages of the world's newspapers, but we are seeing continuous underrepresentation of activists from the most affected areas. Even those who are able to be at these, you know, conferences or press conferences, like my personal experience, we still face erasure, you know, of being in those spaces. So, you know, I think that, you know, we won't be able to have climate justice if everyone is not included. Climate justice is only justice if every community, if every voice is listened to, is amplified, especially people from the most affected areas. There is no climate justice without racial justice. And that is a conversation very many people don't want to have.
Recently, the president of Uganda, Museveni, wrote a scathing op-ed, you know, really indicting the West in how it talks about climate change. Now, his conclusion is one that I don't know that you would or wouldn't agree with, but he said to say to developing nations, especially in Africa, that they need to step away from fossil fuels is to basically condemn them to a constant cycle of poverty. As a climate activist who has programs where you go, you know, and try and get solar panels and cleaner cooking methods into schools or homes in Uganda, what would your response be to that? And what do you think an added conversation to this whole dialogue could be?
When it comes to this issue, I understand when presidents like mine or presidents from developing countries, you know, talk about things like this, because the global north developed and became rich at the expense of very many communities while extracting fossil fuels like oil, like coal, like gas. And we see how wealthy these nations are. So for many people in developing countries, coal or the discovery of coal or oil and gas in their countries means like a door to wealth.
Right.
That's why there is a huge responsibility on developed countries to provide climate finance for developing countries to easily transition to renewable energy, to easily transition to, you know, more sustainable cities. But even the promised climate finance is going to be delayed until 2023, which is unfair, which is so disappointing for communities that are on the front lines. And if we are to get this climate finance, we want it in form of grants, not loans, because we don't want more debt to be added on already existing debt.
Many parts of Africa have people who are saying, look, I don't care about 50 years from now because tomorrow isn't even promised to me. So when you're in your communities and when you're talking to some of these people, convincing them of not going into oil or convincing them of not going into coal, or what do you find as a conversation that helps them understand?
I think that what has really worked for some of the people or communities that we've reached out to is helping them understand the intersection of climate change and, you know, the daily life. For people to understand that climate change is more than weather, it's more than statistics, it's more than data, it's about the people. We talk about 1.5, but not everyone understands what 1.5 degrees is.
Right.
But people will understand when you say that this is an issue that is going to affect the food. Tomorrow you may not have access to food, or today you may not have access to food because of this disaster. You may not be able to access water because of this disaster. So it's more of helping people understand that it's an issue that is beyond statistics or specific degrees. It is something that affects every sector of our lives. And it's important for all of us to work together and be able to transform this world and make it a better place.
Well, Vanessa, thank you so much for taking the time. I know that you're having these conversations with some of the most powerful people in the world, so I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your wisdom with us. Congratulations on the book, and hopefully we'll see you again.
Thank you.
Vanessa's book, A Bigger Picture, is available right now. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty.
Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now. Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
You dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Well, that's our show for tonight, but before we go, please consider supporting When We All Vote. It's a national nonpartisan initiative to change the culture around voting and to increase participation in each and every election by helping to close the race and age voting gap. Now, if you want to support their work, then all you have to do is donate at the link below. Until tomorrow, stay safe out there, get your vaccine, and remember, if someone tries to sell you crypto, buy it! I mean, they can't all be scams, right? They can? Oh, shit.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central. And stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.